This is Dojo Live, Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together. Hello and welcome to Dojo Live this Thursday, March 7th for our fifth and final segment of our Do More in 24 series collaboration with ProVision Partners. We're really excited today because we're going to be taking you as guests all the way through this entire journey that we've had, a sort of going back to the future, so to speak, and traversing AI implementation. And of course, everybody that's been on this journey is here to join us today, starting off with David Chesler, President of ProVision Partners.
That's me. Good to see you again, Kim.
Yes, yes. And of course, Sally Kelly, who is also at ProVision Partners, the SVP of Advisory Services. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And then our third show was with Martin Chevalier. Martin, I always want to say Chevalier, and then I catch myself. It is Chevalier. You are the CEO and co-founder of Inspire. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you again.
Yes. And last but not least, Jorge Hernandez, Principal Machine Learning Engineer with Ancora.
Thank you, Kim. Always a pleasure to be here. And
we've got a wide representation of talents, of expertise, of culture, of time zone. We've got it all here on Dojo Live. So as we get this started, first of all, thank you, everyone. This has been a really fun and informational and inspiring sort of show that we've walked through. And we're just going to kind of kick it off, I think, starting from the very top. This was our first segment. And I think the biggest kickoff we have is why AI implementation and hospitality, as well as sort of who is responsible for such implementation within an organization. So yeah, David, I think this is where your expertise kind of shines. But of course, everyone, we're looking for a great conversation today. Let's just chime in with our takeaways as we guide our audience through the most important nuggets of our journey.
Yeah, so ideally when a consultancy is brought in, we're really trying to help an organization, whether it's a founder, a asset owner, or helping the organization try and figure out what they want to achieve. Our focus is normally more outcome-based, where we want to understand that end result. But many times they have preconceived ideas, and we want to be able to understand those. A lot of the C-suite direction is AI, right? It's very popular. And when a CIO hears that, we've done some work and sampled and surveyed, and in a word cloud, right in the middle in bold, the word scary comes out. And I think, you know, what we were excited about, and as we go on our journey and we meet with CIOs and we meet with founders and even private equity, it's how do they deploy AI across the business? How does the technology intersect with the business aspects, the commercial aspects? And that starts with, you know, creating those organizational structures and maybe bringing silos down. But how do you force that into an organization? And that's where one of my partners, Sally Kelly, there's a focus on design-led thinking and how you basically take and understand through exploration and from all perspectives the benefits of the business, of what these technologies could be. And that's where I think, you know, having that consultancy in that has done this before and helps get all the parties aligned from ideation and all the way through, that's really what we're trying to focus on and really understand how do they want to apply that, right? Early on, then also understanding if they have the finances to do that. Right? How do you manage to, I want execution, functionality, and cost effectiveness. Well, you got to pick, right? And that's, I guess, married against time, because time is money. So that's where I, you know, as the tip of the spear, as they say, start to understand and work with the organization to get to the future outcome that they're trying to achieve. And that's when we bring in the partners.
I love it. And when you are doing this work, like, who from the organization is involved? Like, how should we incorporate everyone? Is it just the C-suite?
Well, it helps. I think McKinsey did a great study and found that the greatest success came when the C-suites and the operational aligned, and they're all connected, right? Because you do have to have that cross-functional alignment, the change management capability across an organization can be from very nascent and early stage to, you know, well-worn and proven. And how that works within the organization from small, where I don't think you're going to find those types of controls, to the large that are in that S-curve and trying to figure out how do they reinvent and bring in AI without AI washing, right? You could put a chatbot on and say, I've got AI, right? So I think the idea is defining what you want to do and deliver for the guest, for the colleague, and then using the technology and this, I guess, methodologies of how you identify the path to deploy it, right? And that's where, again, I think it takes those who have seen it before or able to tease out the most important parts, why we have our cast of experts on, right?
Absolutely. And the expert at this teasing out is, of course, Sally. And this idea of AI washing that we mentioned, remind us again, Sally, what is AI washing? And what are some of these methodologies that you walk people through to avoid this?
Well, AI washing typically is sort of, it's a panacea. It can do it all, right? And unfortunately, in many cases, that is not correct. You know, when we go in, as David was saying, organizational alignment is really, where do things hurt? Where are there opportunities? And then how do you get at the best way to solve those opportunities, right? So we lead with a methodology typically called design-led thinking, and it sounds very lofty and what have you, but it's really not. What it's saying is, okay, you've got a problem, right? You want to solve that problem. You want to use that problem, you know, using technology to solve that problem. What do you do? All design-led thinking does is take all of the various constituents within that value chain, starting with the guests, right? You're looking at the problem from the standpoint of the people that it impacts every day. So when we were on the phone last, you were talking about an absolutely horrific check-in experience that you had at an unnamed hotel company late at night, where all of your expectations about how that check-in was going to be handled were not met. You're standing there in the middle of the night trying to figure out where the keys are, where the guy behind the front desk is, how you get to your room. None of that worked. Typically, what design-led thinking is going to do is go to someone like you, Kim, and say, all right, be part of our group. So we need to know what you think, how you want to solve that problem. We want to know about the guy behind the front desk who wasn't there. Maybe he has another thing that he's doing at night that someone doesn't know about and can't plan for. So getting all of the cross-functional value chain to kind of get together and say, how do we solve this problem? One of the interesting things about design-led thinking is a lot of times technology is thought of as being very unemotional. It is machines talking to machines, right? It is people doing things with algorithms and all of these other things that typically give people a headache. What design-led thinking says is, you know what? This is a lot about people's emotional reactions to things that they experience while they are doing whatever it is they do, checking into a hotel, checking out of a department store, buying an airline ticket. You had a very emotional reaction to what happened to you, something you're not going to forget. What we're really trying to do is make sure that that emotional reaction is a positive one rather than a negative one. And that's what design-led thinking does. It starts with trying to solve those problems, again, from the end user perspective. Back to David's point about having an organizational align, a lot of people that you need to support those efforts sit way above the organization. They're not the feet on the street. They're not doing the work. It's getting all of the organization aligned from the monetary standpoint and the real organizational change aspects to go down to that level, bring everyone in to start to solve the problem. So that's what it is. And AI is no different than any other problem. And it has a lot of applications. You know, back to what they are, you can really pick and choose, because you can go very small and solve a very tactical problem. You can solve a more strategic problem. You can put them together. It's almost unlimited what you can do once you figure out what the problem is you wish to solve.
I love it. I think talking about unlimited and this AI in action, right? We've got Martin Chevalier and quite a few solutions that they have at Inspire. I think the one that we highlighted on our past show was Review Magic. And to me, I think one of the things that I mentioned is like, wow, coming off of your show, Sally, in design-led thinking, is it's as if he figured out how to automate this, right? Via this AI solution that essentially collects all of the reviews from everywhere and then gives this actionable insight, which I think leads into to David's point of needing to have this optimization, some ROI that's coming off of this. But let's dive a bit more into that, Martin, if you can. Your approaches to selling AI, right, both within organizations to kind of get this collaboration, the C-suite, everyone on board and open to these types of changes and technology, but also how do you go about creating it and, you know, selling these B2B solutions to others?
Right. Well, I think it depends a lot where in the process the company or the hotel company in our case is. Are they very early on in their exploration, or they have they started to deploy things? And more specifically, which areas are they looking to improve? Because as we all mentioned here, this could be applied to anywhere in the organization. Are we looking for efficiencies? Are we looking to drive experience? Are we looking to understand data better? So for us, it really depends on kind of design-led thinking, I guess, to understand what is the problem, what are we trying to solve? And I think what we've done, because we're not a consultancy, we sell more or less products, although we adapt them and by products and features and services. And for that reason, we have a certain amount of packages, more or less features that we've developed that fit very well into the ecosystem of hospitality. So for us, it's more of a matter of finding, okay, what are the issues that you're looking at and how can we apply these solutions to find problems to those? And technically, we focused on some that I would say are probably, you could probably say are low hanging fruit in the sense that they're not super advanced. It's not 10 years in the future AI. It's actually very much here and now and applying what's possible right now. But so that means that it's applicable right now, but that also means that it affects people right now. And to Sally's point, this is very much a people industry, a human industry. So I think our main goal with all of this is that if we can take some of the repetitive tasks that machines are very well suited for and remove those from the human side of things so that us human can be more forward facing and actually meet guests, then I think we get the biggest win and we can make the most benefit out of the people that work in the industry, and nobody's going to be put aside. Because there is, of course, the worry that, you know, AI will replace us all. Let's hope it doesn't do that. And I don't think so either. I think what it will do is it will elevate us all and find new uses for how we can all, you know, interact and be at our best in our organizations.
Yeah. Going back to hospitality being all about people, all about humans and just making us better. And I, you know, one of the things, too, I remember from your show, Martin, was this idea of the flagpole. And what brought this about or jog my memory was you're 10 years out, you know, having to have this vision perhaps of what's going to happen or where we want to be in 5, 6, 10 years, put down that flagpole, but then moving very, very small increments, right, to get where you're going. Yeah. And then it comes back to where am I, testing where I'm at, seeing if this is validated or not in order to either keep headed toward that existing flagpole or maybe, you know, move it and switch courses. And I think this kind of, do you want to speak to that? And we can also bring in Jorge in terms of his experience in that testing and iteration component.
Just one brief comment, and I'm more than happy to leave to Jorge. But I was just thinking that it is really important that we put a flagpole down far into the future where we want to go, but that we start reiterating now and testing, because this is definitely going to change. Whatever we apply now is going to take on a different path. It's still so early on. In the beginning, you know, when the internet came about, everything was called www something, and then it was all called .com something. And, you know, now we just take that for granted. And in 5 years' time, we're just going to take this for granted. So you can't call yourself an AI company because that's like, that's a company. Or in the infancy, you say we do online marketing, but you know, that's marketing. So I think it's going to be a very, very prevalent part of our lives. And when, as humans, we're going to evolve together with it and find the best uses for it. So that's why it's important to do these incremental steps, start somewhere, test in the organization, and find the low-hanging fruits where we can all draw benefits from it, because that's going to feed it, right? So that you can keep, continue to move. But if we all run in the same direction, we all go all in, 100% in, and then that's the wrong direction, we're all going to have to backtrack very far. So I do think that, you know, just enough is going to be a very good approach here, testing, testing along the way.
And collaboration, like you said, you know, there's enough out there for all of us to, not me, but companies to dabble in and figure things out. And it goes back, I think, to also what Sally said, or the theme that's come up a lot is maybe this only constant that we're looking at is change, which can make it scary, right, David? But at the same time, it's reliable, right? In that sense, we can prepare for this.
Very true. And I think the interesting thing, again, is the testing and the iteration, going back again and making sure that you are aligned with what that vision is, whether it's the customer's vision, the operational optimization, because that's also a flagpole, as Martin calls it. So I think just making sure, again, when you get to this part of or this stage, that you really are measuring and tracking to where you want it to get to, right? Very important.
Yeah, and I think that just sort of like, you know, condensing what everyone has said, recently, you know, this week we had Anthropic release Claude 3, and one of the things that people are saying about it is like, this doesn't write like an LLM, like it's warm, it's more human, it's better because of that. Mm-hmm. It's better because they have changed the way the model works to adapt to their users. And it comes back to that. You gotta start from the point where you're thinking, when you're designing, who are our stakeholders, who are our users, what is it that we want to accomplish? Once you have that, then it becomes, you know, like, who is responsible for implementation? Everyone in the company is responsible for implementation. Because as, you know, everyone has something to do. It's like, we went, you know, from online marketing to marketing, and it's just became the work of everyone in marketing. Same way with AI. It's going to become the work of everyone. Like, we have an AI product. Well, no, you have a product. So everyone has to contribute. And testing, of course, is the vital part there, because as David said, you have to iterate. You know, you never hit the ball out of the park on the first pitch, almost never, actually. But so you have to go back, get feedback from your users, get feedback from your stakeholders, check that things are running correctly, make adjustments midway. So you got to do all those things, because in the end, you're trying to solve someone's problem, trying to meet someone's need, and those needs change. It's in the changing landscape. So the system has to adjust itself to the people and not the other way around.
Yeah, agreed. But travel is also very different, as I've seen, where it's one of the only industries that if you do get it wrong, it's going to be very costly, both to the business, to the brand, and ultimately the potential loss of guests. So there is that discussion of, you know, no failure is acceptable. And I think the movies made it failure is no option, right? So I think the design-led thinking, aligning the vision with budget and the customer, who is the customer in this instance. And, you know, to Martin's deployment and success with a number of awards, it wasn't how do I use AI in hospitality? It was how do I solve a problem? And I can utilize certain technologies to make it much more efficient. Yeah. And that's where I think I'm very excited that we've gone through this process. We've, you know, the whole lightning strike was around generative AI, but there's so many other areas of this artificial intelligence that it's going to become additive, and it's not going to be the actual product. It's going to enhance the product, right? It's going to make things better. And that's how I think we want to look at the application of it, right?
Yeah, and it's all those little things, as you said, it's not just generative AI. It's a whole bunch of little things, of little steps where, you know, you improve the experience a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. And as Sally said, sometimes you have this experience where nothing goes right. The idea is to, you know, avoid those completely so that at least something goes right. At least the AI save you this one bit or this other bit.
And what are you looking at, Jorge and Martin, as well? You know, both in the pre, we have this sort of, you know, minimal viable product we're getting ready to launch, and we have launched this tracking to make sure that everything is going as you had hoped, this problem is being solved. How do you go ahead about tracking that? And then how does that influence your findings, influence the future roadmap?
You want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure. I think it goes back to the work that Sally does. When you're designing the system, one of the main things you got to come up with are your metrics. Like, how do we make sure that we're successful? We have this idea. We think it's great. Our users might not think it's great. We don't know. We are not 100% sure. So how are we going to measure that? And that's your, you know, like your guideline. You follow that and you adjust. If it's working, if you're, you know, you're seeing more acceptance, if you're getting good feedback. Feedback is so important for the systems. Like you will see in every single response, in every single LLM out there, be it ChatGPT or Claude or, you know, Gemini, you will see that there's this little bit, oh, did you like this answer? Was it good? How can we improve it? Like that data is so valuable, because it helps you refine not just your product, but your design for the next iteration. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like you got to start with solid metrics that are, you know, based on, as David said, what problem are you solving? They shouldn't be technical things.
And in a lot of cases too, Jorge, I think it, back to the human things, I think it's really important that not all the metrics are financial. Some of them are goodwill. Some of them are customer satisfaction. You can translate customer satisfaction into dollars if you wish, but sometimes you're not shooting just for money, right, in the solution of these problems. So, you know, I think it's a nice balance of things that make money, also the things that make people happy and, you know, sort of repeat the cycle of loyalty to you, your brand, your product, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And to your point, Sally, as well, you mentioned the people on the feet, I think you call them, or the people out on the ground that are really there meeting customers every day. They're going to get so much feedback on how things actually were. You know, were they better before, or are they better now? And one concept that I think comes back a lot, at least when we discuss these, is frictionless.
Yes.
Because the more frictions we can remove, the easier it is. So you should actually not even notice it. If the perfect product, you should not even notice, basically. You should just shift through, come to your room and love your room and go swimming in the beach. You know, that's all you want to do. So if we can make things that are that seamless, then I think we've succeeded. So to Jorge's point, it's not about the AI. It's not about the product. It's about what we're removing, which is actually obstacles. We're just there to make it make it easier.
And, you know, I think so far in this conversation, a lot of these obstacles that we've talked about removing have been guest-centric. But you just mentioned also the boots on the ground, not to forget about our constituents, right? There's lots of applications for AI technology to help the operation, to help with optimization, and then making our employees happy, right? And then that just kicks back in other terms of loyalty, I think.
You know, it does as well. And, you know, back to a point that Martin made earlier, back to frictionless, those people have more time to do what the hospitality business is supposed to do, which is interact with customers, right?
Exactly.
You're just taking away time from things that are frequently not value-added tasks and giving it back to people so they can make the guests happy, right? So there is certain loyalty there, but there is also, I think, for particularly a lot of people who work behind a front desk, who I won't say are completely invisible, but sometimes they feel invisible to the brands and others that they work for, you know, gives them a voice in creating a product that Jorge was mentioning that actually helps them do their job better. And they're very enthusiastic about that contribution that they can make, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have really good ideas.
Yeah, you need to listen to the people using your products. And I like to go back to what Martin said about being frictionless. It brings to mind Arthur C. Clarke's quote that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And that's what we should endeavor to try to create, things that are magical.
Yep.
So that's the fade into the background, you know, and then suddenly, oh, you go, oh, wow, yeah.
How'd you do that?
Yeah, so that's the hard part doing that. But it goes to the fact that it's you got to bring it that human touch.
And also a little like thought of caution, I think, and really back to Sally and David's work, because the end user and what we actually create is going to be so important to how this is achieved and received. And it's not enough to just say, okay, we have 10 boxes, because they might be all bad boxes. And I was recently at a hotel, and another unnamed hotel, where they're just taking this sort of automation too far, and it was so clear that they've done it from the cost saving perspective only, not for the guest perspective. This time I was a guest, but for the cost saving. So this was a bit worse, and that was a bit worse, and that was a bit more irritating. And like, no, use the app, scan this, do that. It's like, but I'm here, I'm right now in front of you, can't you just answer my question? So I think we have to be really careful not to rely on technology to take over everything, because that's not what it should be doing. Then it's not magic at all, it's the opposite, right?
Yeah, as Sally said, it should allow people to do the things that bring most value. And in this case, that's customer interaction. That's talking to the customer. That's helping them.
But it's also the organization's responsibility, once you've deployed this, to take the feedback and bring that back to the sponsors and the stakeholders so that they can constantly improve. Not just deploy a conversational AI, but make sure the filtering is correct, that you are treating the guest properly, and that you are understanding incidents, so that whether it's hallucinations or problems within the execution, you're prepared.
Yeah. And I think that the you're prepared is a very good point, as we're coming to sort of the final few minutes of today's wrap up. And going all the way back to the beginning of the show and this word scary, you know, companies can prepare for this no matter where they are at in this stage, you know, coming back to what you all do at ProVision in terms of the consultation, the advice that we've been here, we can help you find, ask the right questions and find the answers to those questions. And then also companies like Ancora, Jorge, who help companies build and roll out the solutions that they're looking to create, right? Does anybody want to speak a bit to that experience as well, and just the services that are available to companies who are looking to implement AI?
I could go quickly and just say that Lewis and Clark knew the expedition business, but they used Sacagawea to help them find their way. You need someone.
I love that.
You need to. I use it too much, I promise you. But you need someone to actually help you, because admitting you need help, you need subject matter expertise, is not a bad thing. And I think having the bravery, as Martin has shown, in stewarding a company through a startup phase and growth and even success, knowing how to achieve that and being able to be humble and measured in your execution so that you are able to iterate and continue to improve. New technologies are going to come. You do need to think through that future proof. So being able to execute with companies like Ancora and plan with companies like ProVision and even talk to founders and operators like Martin, that's what I think we encourage, is that constant learning, that improvement, self-actualization, whatever you want to term it, that's the focus. And that's why we did this program, right? That's what I think excited us all about it, was that we just wanted to give back and share.
Exactly. And to help things move faster in those small increments to get to that flagpole that we've got marked down the path. You know, thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a really exciting conversation. I think a very effective wrap up. Anyone have any final words that they'd like to chime in? Or we'll just leave it to Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea. We're good.
One of my favorites.
I love it. But you know, the conversation is not going to stop here. I am happy to announce that we're going to be continuing the conversation here on Dojo Live, continuing the collaboration with ProVision Partners as well as Inspire, because we're going to be kicking off a second series, right? That series is going to be The Hospitality Advantage, Real Stories of AI in Action, like Review Magic. So please do be on the lookout for that. I believe we're going to kick it off somewhere around the first week of April. Again, you know, every other Thursday. But yeah, follow all of our channels to keep up with that and to join in on that conversation. It's great. Hospitality Advantage. Perfect. Well, thank you all once again. It's really, truly been my pleasure to learn from you and your expertise and to grow with you, right? That's what we're all about.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Till next time.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com.